Welcome to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. We introduce you to the voices of community thought leaders and change makers who are working on solutions that face our fellow individual community members, neighborhoods, cities, and our region. This is George Koster, your host. This episode is part of our series exploring COVID-19's impact on nonprofits and small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. Back in April of 2020, when we decided to create this ongoing series on COVID-19's impact, first on nonprofits and then on small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, we, like you, had no idea how long the pandemic would go on and what the health and economic impact would be in our community. As we enter the second half of 2022 with the latest explosion of cases from the most recent COVID-19 Omicron mutations, along with the masking requirements being changed and folks getting their vaccinations, our communities are still struggling to deal with the health, economic, mental, and societal impacts of the ongoing global pandemic. This all adds to the ongoing uncertainty of our ever-changing indoor and outdoor, vaccinated and unvaccinated protocols, and the politics of the pandemic that will drive how we all come back together as a unified or fractured community. We will continue to shine a spotlight on the nonprofits and small businesses that make up the fabric of our community, along with the founders and staff who are struggling to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their operations, services, and sustainability until we can all get to the other side of the pandemic. Along the way, we will also share with you all the amazing solutions that our nonprofits, small businesses, foundations, and government leaders are working on to help us all get to the other side of the pandemic and come together to rebuild our communities with more economic, social, and environmental equality.
So thank you to San Mateo County and Governor Newsom for taking advantage of FEMA funds for Project Home Key to get people permanently housed. We were so excited in the shelter that we were eligible for permanent housing. However, if it wasn't for the Miracle Money program, I would have been disqualified for low-income senior housing that I occupy now. This program does change lives and make things better for its participants.
Welcome to our annual holiday show and fundraiser. As we bring this year and our special series on COVID-19's impact on nonprofits to a close, we wanted to go back to episode 1 in the series when we introduced you to Miracle Messages, and in episode 75 when we introduced you to Miracle Messages' Miracle Money program. In this, our 102nd episode of the special COVID-19 series, we're featuring the voices of the CEO of Miracle Messages, Kevin Adler, and Miracle Messages General Manager of Los Angeles, Jenny Taylor, along with Miracle Money Program participant, Elizabeth Sofke. I'd like to turn to each of our guests today and have you provide a little bit of background on yourselves. So let's start with you, Kevin.
Sure. Well, nice to be with you, George, and thanks for having us back. It's always a pleasure. So yeah, my name's Kevin Adler. I'm the founder and CEO of Miracle Messages. Started Miracle Messages back in December of 2014. I had an uncle who was experiencing homelessness for about 30 years. He lived on and off the streets of Santa Cruz. So after he passed away, it made me start thinking, gosh, everyone I'm walking by, that's someone's uncle or aunt, someone's son or daughter, someone's brother or sister. And I wanted to know what the backstories were. So Miracle Messages really began with my own personal family connection to this issue. And I began to realize how so many of our unhoused neighbors experience what we call relational poverty as a form of poverty that often gets overlooked. And then I do a decent amount of public speaking and have my second book coming out in about a year, which is on the topic of homelessness.
Thank you, Kevin. And Jenny, why don't you share with the audience a little bit of your background as well?
Thanks, Storage. And Kevin, we're so excited about your book coming out. Hi, everyone. I'm Jenny Taylor. I came to this work through a kind of meandering path, but I started as an international teacher for about 10 years and then started working in educational nonprofit work. And March 2020 happened with COVID. I was sent home from the international waters and moved to Los Angeles. And I was looking for something to throw myself into. As soon as you move to Los Angeles, when you haven't lived there before, when you see people going through homelessness, it is staggering. And it's one of those moments where you have to decide then and there, am I going to get involved or am I going to shut off this part of my heart and try to find something else to throw myself into? So thankfully I picked number one and I was able to find Miracle Messages, and it's been a joy to be with them ever since.
Thank you. And then Elizabeth, please you share with the audience your background.
Hi, yes, thank you, George. My introduction to Miracle Messages came through the pandemic in September 2019. I had a surprise diagnosis of advanced colon cancer. At the time of the diagnosis, I was a teacher in the Redwood City School District. Plus, I was running my own arts program, Jump Into Writing. That all came to an immediate stop. I got excellent care through Stanford Medicine and did have to undergo chemo, which I don't recommend to anybody, but made a full recovery. So I thought I was all done with cancer, but my oncologist decided in the end that I should go on this extreme chemotherapy. I was not allowed to return to work because my students could have killed me, literally. So I did recover, got good care, but I was unable to work and couldn't pay my rent. And I was thrown out of my rental home of 14 years. Fortunately, 2 hours before I thought I was going to wind up on the streets, I got a call that there was a medical bed available at a shelter and was able to stay off the street. And about a month later, I got connected to my miracle friend, who is now like my dearest friend, Joan, and became part of representing this amazing organization that is doing so much to help people and inform people about the reality of being unhoused.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to you, Kevin, and have you provide some background on why you and the team at Miracle Messages created the Miracle Money program.
Absolutely. Well, great. Again, have Jenny here with me and a beloved member of our team. And Elizabeth's story just is incredibly inspiring. And you hear Elizabeth speak about her experience, about her story. And no one should go through homelessness. Absolutely. But you hear Elizabeth, you're like, you should never go through homelessness. Like, this is ridiculous. And it turns out that most of the people experiencing homelessness have stories like Elizabeth. We tend to think of homelessness in very narrow, stereotypical form of what maybe we see on the streets. That's a form of homelessness. And there's many people who have severe substance abuse issues, drugs, mental health issues. And it's very visible, but also a minority of people who are experiencing homelessness and housing insecurity in the United States. And so just listening to our volunteers and hearing how they wanted to show up even more for our unhoused friends, we said, well, instead of having a burden or an expectation on any of you contributing more than just your time and your energy, why don't we try to raise some money to see if we can give to some of our participants in Miracle Friends? So initially set a goal, I think of about $15,000 initially, and we ended up hitting $50,000 in just a few days over Facebook, social media, fundraising. We had the hard task of being able to eventually select 14 individuals. And of those 14 individuals who are either currently or formerly homeless, 9 were homeless at the time that they received the first $500 check. And by the end of the 6-month period or right thereafter, we had 2/3 of those individuals that were able to secure stable housing as a result of $3,000 being paid out over 6 months. So long story, slightly short from that, we just realized that, gosh, our unhoused neighbors spent the money better than we could have spent it for them. So from that, George, we said, gosh, this is just too logical, too basic common sense to not expand it. And I could share more about that if you'd like later in the program, but we'll be making a big announcement about a major expansion. So that's what Miracle Money is about. It really worked so well together with our phone buddy program.
Thank you, Kevin. Great story. And Elizabeth, turning to you, could you share with the audience what your experience has been in working with the Miracle Money program and how it's helped you?
Thank you, George. Well, pragmatically, through the program, it helped me to do what I needed to do and access what I needed to get to return, let's say, back out into regular society. I was living in a hotel in Pacifica at the time. Thank you, Governor Newsom, because it answered a lot of prayers for a lot of people to be put into hotels where I had a door, a lock, key and a privacy. There were still some problems with the tourists coming in and out, but it was overwhelmingly better. And with the Miracle Money program, it bought me time to reflect and think about what do I need and how can I meet that need. So I am housed. I live near water again. So out on Bear Island in Redwood City, California. The Miracle Money program was truly a miracle. After my full recovery, I'm 4 years in remission from colon cancer. And then after that, I was able to enter a vocational program through San Mateo County, work and get paid. I was able to save money for the first time in my life, really, not let it just go in and out. So saving money from employment and also saving up the Miracle Money program disbursements that I was getting. So thank you to San Mateo County and Governor Newsom for taking advantage of FEMA funds for Project Home Key to get people permanently housed. We were so excited in the shelter that we were eligible for permanent housing. However, if it wasn't for the Miracle Money program, I would have been disqualified for low-income senior housing that I occupy now. This program does change lives and make things better for its participants. And thank you again, Kevin. And so part of partnering with Kevin and Miracle Messages to tell people the truth about who gets unhoused and why, and that even people who have a lot of money, they are still not going to have enough to retain safe permanent housing in the United States.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing your story. Really appreciate that. And it's so wonderful that Miracle Money has been able to help stabilize your housing. I'm going to turn to you, Jenny, and have you kind of walk the audience through how Miracle Messages and Miracle Money program reaches out to the community. How does that program work to reach folks like Elizabeth?
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy, in LA County, they just did the homelessness count, and we have over 70,000 people experiencing homelessness just in LA County. And I don't have the same numbers for the Bay Area, but we assume they're higher than anyone has ever imagined. But knowing that this program exists and knowing that this idea of cash flow going to people experiencing homelessness is a relatively new idea, you know, and how do you get that out while staying very true to the core of who Miracle Messages is? And the core of who we are is really that social support. We're more than just the cash, right? We're trying to build those relationships and those bridges that we need of relationship. And so knowing that part of the Miracle Money program is related to our Miracle Friends program, that you have a friend who's just there for you, that while your life is going through these changes, while you're receiving this money, you can still jump on the phone and have someone to talk to, because there's a lot of emotions around this. So when it comes to outreach, we're so excited to partner with all of these different people across the Bay Area, through Oakland, and now through Los Angeles County. We've never even really needed much of an office in LA, but we go out and partner and we show up to these sites where people are getting other services that are very much needed. But the magic question is, do you just need someone to talk to? And just that question is enough to open up for the program. Let's just start there. And still coming to that core of who Miracle Messages is. And right now, the way that Miracle Money is working is a bit more complicated, but we are trying to do this through a study with our partners at University of Southern California. Through this study, we're hoping to really collect data to swing kind of the psychology around it. And we're really excited to have our study partners as well.
You're listening to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. Voices of the Community is supported by a grant from the James Irvine Foundation, dedicated to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. More at irvine.org. This is George Koster, your host, and if you're just joining us, this is our annual holiday show and fundraiser featuring the voices of the founder of Miracle Messages, Kevin Adler, and the general manager of Miracle Messages Los Angeles Operations, Jenny Taylor, along with Miracle Money program participant and community activist, Elizabeth Sofke. Let's rejoin our conversation about the Miracle Money program's cash transfers to our unhoused community members, which supports both their housing and life pathways.
Kevin, I'm going to come back to you. And from your perspective, what do you feel has been the biggest impact Miracle Money is having on our unhoused community members?
Well, what we've seen so far is quite a few people get housed as a result of miracle money. We've created this identity of homelessness in our society called the homeless. We don't look at ourselves as the housed people. And it's a problematic identity because there's lots of variations of why someone's on the streets, how long they've been on the streets, whether they're on the streets or at a shelter, whether it's a medical issue or a job loss or a combination of multiple factors. So I think the two things we probably have done best with miracle money is one, helping a number of unhoused individuals either get off the street into housing or at least be able to invest in themselves and their future and start thinking about what comes next. One thing Elizabeth mentioned, I think it may be the first time I've heard Elizabeth say it in these words, was just the importance of having time and space to think, just process things and kind of collect yourself. That to me, all the ways that our unhoused friends and formerly unhoused friends now use the money, that's the number one benefit. And I think the second is around the narrative and the stigmas around who the homeless are, big quotes, how they would use money. We've demonstrated through Miracle Money, which is, I believe, the first basic income pilot for people experiencing homelessness in the United States, and certainly the first one to focus on the importance of social support. We've demonstrated that when you invest in people, trust people, and are in relationship with people, good things happen.
And Elizabeth, from your perspective, what do you feel has been the biggest impact of Miracle Money on unhoused community members?
The very first thing that pops into my mind as you ask that question is just a return of, for me and for many others, demonstration of being respected, to regain your sense of self-respect. This is how we approach being unhoused in the United States in particular. It's so freaking cruel. And there's so many, I'm going to say, lies about how people become unhoused and why. I learned when I was in the shelter, there were some benefits. You know, God had me on this path to talk about this and let people know. And one thing I learned when I was in the shelter is that most people who are unhoused, they work. So in the shelter that I was in, it was literally on an island in the very back of San Francisco International Airport. And who put us there on that island in the back of the airport? Rich people. We don't talk about the different pressures that force people to become unhoused. And there's so many hurdles, unseen hurdles to the outside world that keep people from gaining housing. And one of those hurdles is being placed in shelters in situations so far away from services. So most people who are in the shelter situation, they have cars. They use their cars to get to work, to jobs that they've been working at often for years. But just that rents or being able to buy housing had just become completely out of reach.
Thank you. Really wonderful context. I wanted to turn to everyone to actually share kind of a favorite story, if you will, of participating in Miracle Messages. Jenny, I want to start with you on that question.
Sure. My favorite part isn't being a manager, but is actually being a miracle friend. I matched with a wonderful man that I had actually met in person on outreach. He is 69, turning 70 this year, and he had been experiencing homelessness for 17 years when I met him. And I'm really excited because my favorite moment was just about 3 days ago when we had our weekly call, and he just moved into a new apartment, which is just such an incredible moment to experience that as a volunteer, to experience just that moment of joy with him, to know I've met him in person, to have walked some of this journey with him, and then to see this massive change in his life has been really exciting. So that's a favorite moment for me.
Thank you, Jenny. And Elizabeth, favorite story or moment of your participation in Miracle Money, the Miracle Messages program, or even as you've transitioned out, a story or a moment that means something to you?
Besides being able to have funds to support other organizations that are very near and dear to me, just being able to go out there and go shopping. Yes, I'm a girl and I like shopping. And I had so much embarrassment and shame when I didn't have money to buy clothes and they were just like literally falling off of me. So be able to participate in something normal, even though I went through the hotel program, had more secure housing, I still had like a sense of shame and not belonging, that there was barriers between me and the world that I used to live in. person. So being able to get connected, being able to get access to Ubers and Lyfts to get around faster, to get to work faster, that really changed me in many ways to get back to the Elizabeth that I remembered from before all this and putting me back on that path to reconnecting with the world.
Thank you. And Kevin, favorite story or moment?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can't even begin to start, you know, I can't look at my neighbors experiencing homelessness the same way anymore. And I'm very fortunate to not have lived experience, right? Like it's something that we're starting to learn to value the importance of lived experience because it's almost inconceivable for folks on the other side of that threshold to know what it's like. You know, 8 years in, 1,000+ people I've talked to, I still cannot imagine. And I'm still jotting down notes when I hear someone like Elizabeth to talk about the experience. So for me, on the whole, just the relationships I built with the folks we've served, some of whom have become dear friends like Elizabeth, staff members and team members like Jenny, and the impact we've been able to have and kind of just use their skill sets for greater good. They've affected me very deeply and I'm forever changed for the better as a result.
Thank you, Kevin. And staying with you, Kevin, how can folks in the community get engaged in supporting the Miracle Money program?
So we've recently announced, and I'll share here, really one of the first times to be sharing this, we are doing a major expansion of Miracle Money. We've received over $1 million grant from Google.org, as well as a comparably sized gift from a few individuals and foundations, leading us to have over a $2 million basic income plus social support pilot for people experiencing homelessness in San Francisco, Oakland, and Los Angeles. And we'll be, through the course of the next year and a half, giving out more than $1 million to people experiencing homelessness in direct cash transfers. So we are going to, as part of that, need a lot of volunteers. We're talking 300, 350 volunteers to be in our phone buddy program. It's 1 hour a week. You can commit to text messages, phone calls, wherever you are in the world. We can get you a private phone number through our partners at Dialpad or using Google Voice. You don't have to use your own device phone number if you don't want to. There's training, there's mentoring, there's community. And hey, take it from Jenny. She has her day job with Miracle Messages, but then she's doing this because she's such a wonderful human being and it's her favorite part of the whole thing, being in this phone buddy program. We also invest in our phone buddy program, our reunion services, and other work to address relational poverty. So most of our funding comes from individual donations. And if folks feel compelled to make a donation, you can go to miraclemessages.org and make a donation there. So those are the best ways to get involved.
As I recall, I think Miracle Messages has brought together, is it 800 families now?
Soon enough, we're at over 700 now, and we'll be eventually at 800. And I think we have over 250 phone buddies that have been active in our program. So cumulatively, we've served well over 1,000 people experiencing homelessness throughout the country.
And then how many folks have actually, like Elizabeth, participated in Miracle Money program over the last 2 years?
So the initial pilot was 14 individuals. Elizabeth was one of those 14. And then we have our expansion that we're enrolling, recruiting for in LA. Jenny and her colleague John are hard at work in LA. We have a team in San Francisco doing that in SF and Oakland. That will extend Miracle Money to another 110 individuals. So cumulatively, we'll be at about 125 within the next year or so.
That's great. All right. So I'm going to go to our final question. Basically, since we're still in COVID, I just wanted to ask each person if they could share from their perspective, what are some of the positive things that have come out of the pandemic to support our unhoused community members, whether it's through the Miracle Messages program, Miracle Money, et cetera. Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you.
Well, George, as I think about it, there have been positive things that have come out. The first thing that comes to my mind is that we are now starting to get accurate information about the unhoused, which are our brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, their people, how that actually happens. It's not the tropes of they're lazy or bad or even drug addiction. Drug addiction comes at the very end of your resources and abandonment by friends and community. So there's more accurate information about what drives people to become unhoused and talking about their experience and what they see and what they believe needs to happen with getting one who wants housing, that they can access housing.
Thank you, Elizabeth and Jenny.
Oh man, so hard to follow that. That was beautiful, Elizabeth. Just as she said, I think there's more understanding. I think there's more information. I think there's a lot more activism going on that is really beautiful to see. But one of the things I see a lot is the compassion that has come out when I'm asking people to volunteer with us, which I'm really passionate about. We really bring up the idea that people experiencing homelessness are very isolated. There's depression going on. There's loneliness going on. And I think everyone has always been able to connect with those ideas. And so taking those feelings and now saying, you know what, some of our unhoused neighbors haven't had a conversation like that in years. I think that level of compassion is really starting to turn that tide where we're seeing that we have more in common than we did before. And so I see that even though it's a difficult thing, I think it's become a really beautiful thing to come out of this.
Thank you, Jenny and Kevin.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief because I think Jenny and Elizabeth really captured a lot of what I would share as well. Early on in the pandemic, a fellow kind of homeless nonprofit leader told me something of what he heard one of the unhoused clients say to him that stuck with me. Said, "You don't need to teach me about social distancing." And as a result of the pandemic, there was this period of openness and possibility that led us to be able to partner with the city of San Francisco and create a phone buddy program and then create a basic income pilot on top of that and grow those. So I think the collaboration that's come of it, and just, I don't think Miracle Friends and Miracle Money would have emerged in the way they did and with the success they've had if it wasn't for the increased openness that the pandemic, I would say, necessitated on behalf of service providers and cities and counties.
Thank you. Really wonderful answers. Thank you, Kevin, Jenny, and Elizabeth, for sharing your wonderful work of Miracle Messages and how the Miracle Money program is helping our unhoused community members. We'll make sure that listeners have your contact information, website, and social media. And finally, for the Miracle Money holiday program, I'm matching donations up to $2,500. So please go to miraclemessages.org/donate. And I want to wish Kevin, Jenny, and Elizabeth a wonderful end of the year holiday season. Please stay safe and healthy out there as we all work our way through the latest stage of COVID-19. And thanks very much for participating in today's show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
That's it for this episode of Voices of the Community. You've been listening to the voices of the founder of Miracle Messages, Kevin Adler, and the general manager of Miracle Messages Los Angeles Operations, Jenny Taylor, along with Miracle Money Program participant and community activist, Elizabeth Sofke. To donate to the Holiday Miracle Money Fund to provide funds directly to our unhoused community members, please go to miraclemessages.org/donate. And remember, I'm matching up to $2,500 so you can double your donation. You can listen back to episode 1 in our special series to hear about the background of Miracle Messages with Kevin and to find out more about the success of the Miracle Money program and its impact on our unhoused community members, please listen back to episode 75 of this series, where we feature the voices of Ray, Jen, and Kevin. We hope that you enjoyed the insights, points of view, and personal stories from the voices of changemakers and their nonprofits and small businesses featured in this series. To find out more and get engaged with the nonprofits, small businesses, and staff members featured in the series, please go to my website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community to find links to the extended versions of these interviews and to listen to the entire series. After listening to these stories, we hope that you will consider making a donation and volunteering to provide a hand up to your fellow community members. Today's episode was made possible by the audio wizard and our associate producer, Eric Estrada, and the graphics magic of Casey Nance from Citron Studios, along with the wonderful crew at the San Francisco Public Press and KSFP. Voices of the Community is supported by a grant from the James Irvine Foundation, dedicated to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. More at irvine.org. Voices of the Community is a member of Intersection for the Arts, which allows us to offer you a tax deduction for your contributions. Please go to georgecoster.com and click on the donate link to make a donation to help us provide future shows just like this one. While you're on our website, you can enjoy our archived past shows, which feature community voices working on solutions to critical issues facing Northern California communities. And you can sign up for our newsletter to find out more about future shows, as well as shows and events from the organizations that are included in our episodes. Take us along on your next COVID walk by subscribing to Voices of the Community on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at George Koster, and we'd love to hear from you with feedback and show ideas, so send us an email to george@georgekoster.com. I'm George Koster in San Francisco, and thank you for listening.